Our New Testament lesson this morning is from the first of the three Johannine epistles. Now, 2nd and 3rd John are really more clearly written in letter form. 1st John is more a manifesto than a letter. But I suppose for ease of classification, back in the day when this was all being put together, the other two manuscripts and this one fit more neatly together if we called them all three epistles. We're not sure who wrote these three encouraging messages in the first three epistles of John, probably written to a collection of churches in the second century, churches that were buckling under the weight of some formidable challenges. And these three epistles are often quoted because of how much the author leans on love to encourage those congregations. So let's listen now, friends. Let's listen with the question, can this same confidence and love encourage us today? We know love by this, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and God knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey God's commandments and do what pleases God. And this is God's commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as God has commanded us. All who obey God's commandments abide in God, and God abides in them. And by this we know that God abides in us, by the Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear John, or whatever your name is, we don't know, after all, who you really were. All you give us to go on is Ho Presbyteros. That's the best we've got, the elder. So I'll call you Elder John. Dear Elder John, it's been a rough few weeks on planet Earth. Actually, it's been a rough few months. Scratch that. It's been a rough few centuries. Maybe a few millennia. Since you put out the good news to Jesus followers in your day about God's love in Christ. I wonder what was going on to challenge the communities you were reaching out to back then, Elder John. What were the cracks, the stress points, the things that were making the churches you advised feel strained to the point of disintegration? What was it that made you plead with them so valiantly to not give up on love? That's why I'm writing to you today, Elder John, in front of God and all these witnesses. We could use some help right now. So back to my original point. It's been a rough few weeks here on planet Earth. I'm not sure where to start. Sometimes it feels like the violence just won't let up. Sometimes it feels like all the blood that has been spilled from injustice is drowning us all. Just over 2 weeks ago, this country marked 50 years since gunshots rang out at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis and killed Dr. King. Some of us were there in Memphis to remember, and we heard the ghosts from those days. And we heard the ghosts from the days before those days, when enslaved people as young as 6 months old were bought by people just like us. We heard the ghosts of a time when women and children and men huddled in the cellar of a house along the Mississippi River that must have been held in the palm of God's hand to conceal what its purpose was. It was a stop on the Underground Railroad. We stood in that cellar, shoulder to shoulder in the dark, and imagined the shadows of our country's shameful past. And we also imagined the awe-inspiring resolve and resilience of people who believed in freedom, of people who found room in their hearts to trust another human being, even after all the cruelty that had been done to them. In Memphis, we heard the stories of lynchings that happened on Sunday afternoons with ice cream served, a community activity after church, one even described in a newspaper by someone who must have been Presbyterian, because he described the lynching and said it was done decently and in order. Then just 2 weeks ago, Elder John, we lost our friend. A car accident. A split second. We'll never understand, and now he's gone. And this week, just this week, Elder John, just here in this little corner of our world, the powers and principalities have shown their ugly hunger again to put black and brown bodies in their place, to criminalize them. Scare tactics to chasten immigrants with nefarious raids in neighborhoods and schools and workplaces and grocery stores and homes. It's been a rough week on planet Earth. A whole family decimated by gun violence, by domestic violence, children, a mother, right here in our town, right down the road from here. A mother trying to take care of her kids. A mother trying to put distance between her and a man she wanted out of her life. Erica Smith's kids were students, athletes, brothers and sisters and cousins and friends. And all this does not even include the quiet, hidden places where each of us are facing challenges, crises of faith, relationships, health, and what's next for us. Were these the kind of things the churches you wrote to were facing, Elder John? Senseless violence, festering wounds, the wages of the sins of greed and of hatred and of anger and of fear. You told those struggling churches, those discouraged churches, those not sure how we go on churches, that love needs truth and love needs action. That's the only way love will ever get any traction. But what if love isn't enough anymore? What if it never was enough? What do you do in hard times like these to keep yourself going? Have you been looking like I have for messengers? Looking and listening for messengers of love. Faces, voices, songs, heartbeats, fresh winds, green pastures, still waters. I've been listening in the mornings to the sound of waking up on this planet, savoring the sight of the mist rising up over these mountains and the dawn of the birds who sing each day into being. Did you know that birds expend all that energy every morning to sing because they want to announce how strong they are? They want to say to anyone who will listen, I made it through another night. I'm strong. I'm resilient. I'm healthy. I'm here. And morning singing birds each have their own unique song that's just theirs, so that potential mates and potential competitors know exactly who is singing and who made it through the night. What is your morning song? How do you greet the day with a new resolve to reach out, to love, to tell those who might seek to hurt you that you are strong, that you are resilient, that you are healthy? Some messengers call on our courage. Some messengers call to the strength that we are not always sure that we have. Some messengers encourage us to be bold in the face of challenges, to sing freedom songs, songs of resistance and defiance, songs of repentance, songs of faith and resolve, because that is what love does. Some messengers need us to pay closer attention. They need us to come looking, to seek them out in the interest of knowing the truth, to be willing to hear hard things, because that's what love does. Love needs truth. Love needs action. That's the only way love will ever get any traction. Take the salamander, for instance. So small, so discreet. Many salamanders live their whole life in the murky headwaters that we never see, or under damp leaves, or under a rock, away from our gaze. Salamanders, even though we don't interact with them very much, are carrying a very heavy load for us. Their permeable skin, the eggs that they lay, soak in the pesticides and herbicides and polluted water and soil that human beings create. Salamanders are messengers of the health of our home. About half of the 600 different kinds of salamanders there are threatened. About 62 more of those species are close to being threatened. And sadly, many of the beautiful varieties of salamanders that the world had have already disappeared forever. The salamander is telling us something about ourselves. We are hard on permeable things. The things that soak up our pain and our greed and our short-sightedness. Salamanders tell us that we have this out of sight, out of mind way of avoiding the hard truths we need to look at to heal ourselves, to heal the world. Love needs truth. Love needs action. That's the only way love is ever going to get any traction. You may know this poem. I've shared it with you before. It's one of my favorites. Wild Geese, a poem by Mary Oliver. Just close your eyes and listen. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about your despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. Maybe the hardest message for us to receive is that we're loved fiercely and steadfastly loved. And it's not a Hallmark card kind of love. It's not a bumper sticker kind of love. This is a radical love that strips away our pretense and our delusion and lays our sins and suffering bare. It's the kind of love that meets you in the lowest place you could ever be and says, I'm here to make you well. And you belong with me. It's hard to trust that kind of love. It's hard to believe that it won't find out the whole truth about us and give up on us and tell us that after all, we really don't belong. I wonder what it would take for us to take in the kind of love God extends into our shadows. Jesus comes into those lonely, tortured places and says, I love you. I love you and I see the healing that could be yours. Don't give up, he says. Don't give up on love. The psalmist sings to us about that kind of love. A love that extends into exile, into pain and peril, into the desert times, and the times that start to feel God forsaken, into our own failures, into the places where we need to be transformed. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Green pastures, still waters, restored souls, fearing no evil, facing the valley of the shadow, knowing we are not alone. Trusting that God will make a home for us here. Trusting God to be our home forever. The sure provisions of my God attend me all my days. Oh, may your house be my abode. And all my work be praise. Then will I find my settled rest while others go and come. No longer a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. But like a child at home. Most mornings I sing that song. I sing it for me, I sing it for my children, I sing it for my family, I sing it for all of you. Because I love you. And because I want you to feel at home on this planet. I want you to feel at home with each other and with God. Because I know that courageous to get home is what will empower us to be courageous together. It's what will make us messengers of Christ's healing love, not just in words or in speech, but in everything we do, in everything that we are. The truth is, Elder John, it's time for love to live up to its potential. Thank you for listening, and thank you for writing to all of us Jesus followers about true love. Love, Marcia. True love moves. It stands up. It sings. It tells the world it made it through another night and is ready for connection, ready to say, I'm home, ready to recognize everything that lives and breathes as family, family worthy of our true love. We are home, brothers and sisters, home in a world that cries out for more love. Home on a planet that is sending us messages of need and stress and strength and resolve. Home in a world that tells us the truth, the harsh and exciting truth. The world needs you and me to believe in love. And not just to believe, but to let love lead the way in every courageous step we take into the world's pain. Because you see, brothers and sisters, true love does not hide. It does not retreat. It does not deny its wounds. True love believes in healing opportunities in the worst of the world's crucifixions. Hear the good news once again, Grace Covenant. Christ's love is the love of Easter. The love that redeems, that harrows every hell you can come up with for yourself, that fixes our gaze toward eternity, toward the power and the mystery of a love that has not ever and will not ever let you go. Thanks be to God.